From WNYC in New York and Public Radio International, I'm Kurt Anderson. The shadowy power of the background, it's a hallmark of radio especially. Because of the sound, you know where I am or what I'm feeling or what you're supposed to be feeling. Each scene is set in your mind without me saying a word. Today in Studio 360, we're focusing on the background, that space in the distance that ends up doing a lot of heavy lifting in music, in paintings, and in the movies. Rachel Portman is my guest today. She's composed music for dozens of films, including The Cider House Rules, Chocolat, The Joy Luck Club, and the recent Manchurian Candidate. Her score for Emma won her an Oscar. Right now, you're hearing her music for Roman Polanski's Oliver Twist, which opens at the end of the month. Rachel Portman, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much.
So you've scored dozens of films, as I said before. If you can take me through that process a little bit, how does it work?
Well, first of all, if I jump to the part where I've been asked to write the score, so I've been invited to write the score, then I would receive a copy of it on DVD or whatever, and I would watch it several times. And when I felt I really know the film quite well, then I would go and have a meeting, in this case with Roman, and we'd talk about where he thinks there should be music, and I'd come prepared with where I think there should be music.
And were those ideas that you shared instantly, or not necessarily?
By and large, they were, but not all. It proved to be a very hard film to get right, as often the best films are. I thought I'd finished the film once, and then he came back and he said, "No, Rich, we need much, much more music." And off I went, and I wrote 35 minutes more music. As he said, it turned into a sort of an opera, so that every character, when they appear, they have a theme. So when Bill Sykes walks into the room and he kicks the door open, in comes his theme and plays with him for the first 2 minutes that you see him. And it was terrific fun to do that. It was so wonderful to have the music be a character like that in the film.
And does a director like Roman Polanski or other directors come with specific ideas like, oh, this should be Rachmaninoff-ish, or this should be Debussy-ish, or this should be Stravinsky-like?
Well, he didn't do that. He's very respectful of composers, and he would always say to me, "No, you write your music." And when I was talking to him about orchestration, he said, "It's fine. I understand what you're going to do. I'll leave it up to you." It can be very difficult if a composer is told by their director, "Oh, well, the cello is my favorite instrument, and it would be wonderful if you use that here," because it may not speak to the composer or actually be appropriate for the scene. And often, I think it's a nervousness on the part of directors, I'm not including Roman in this, of not understanding this strange language that you put to films, and it's an area of the film they can't control or direct in a way, and so they sort of latch onto pieces of music that they know or like, and it may not serve their film in the best way. It's also very off-putting if you're told to, write something in the style of somebody else, because that takes away the fun and the interest for me to create something new.
Are there contemporary clichés in movie music that you particularly despise?
Such as?
Well, I'm leaving that choice up to you.
Clichés. Oh, I don't know. I do find that there's far too much music in films now, and it's sort of sad and depressing the way that I feel that there's this fear of leaving scenes without music. And the beauty of using music in film is the silence when there isn't music, because if it's too much, it just becomes too soapy, and just you can't form your own opinions, because you've got something subtly helping you form an opinion in a scene.
Are there film scores that you particularly admire and look to as sort of the gold standard?
Yeah, I think Nina Rota's score for The Godfather was really stupendous and really wonderful.
Why is that?
Morricone's a wonderful composer. I love the use of themes. I love the fact that the music is a character and that it creates this world, plus the fact that it's just terrific music. And, you know, I mean, that is music that can stand on its own. It's not background music at all, really, even though it has been used for background. And, well, it's not always background at all, actually, because it's used quite sort of in a quite an operatic way. But it's just the music's so good, I guess.
How did you get into this? You must have started as a composer, not thinking you were going necessarily to be a movie composer?
Yeah, I did. I started writing pieces when I was about 14, 15, and I went to a very good school when I was 15 for a couple of years till I went to university, where I had a composition teacher, so I wrote a lot more there. And it was really when I was at university that I discovered that, well, especially I went to Oxford University, and they were very against people writing tuneful music or music that was, you know, tonal even. We were being sort of urged to sort of follow Webern, and there was no room for anybody doing anything different. So I think I realized that I wanted to tell stories in music sometime around that, when I was sort of 21, 22, and that's what turned me into looking to do film and television, because that's what I'm best at doing. And if I'm writing music, is describing something, telling a story. For me, it's all about the emotion